295 in the Mandarin community. Bible study at 9:30, worship at 10:30. Thanks for tuning in to Let's Face the Issues with Dr. Gene A. Youngblood. Since 2015, Dr. Youngblood has taken scores of questions and comments on the challenging issues of the day, with the goal of motivating and informing listeners to examine the issues from a central biblicist worldview. Currently, this broadcast is heard on 3 regional stations in Florida and Georgia. Dr. Youngblood's expository preaching is also heard on these 3 stations in Jacksonville, Florida, St. Augustine, Florida, and Brunswick, Georgia. Now there's a great opportunity to expand this vital ministry to other cities. Your help is needed to accomplish this mission. Your support in any amount is crucial to take the next step in sharing God's truth in a relevant, lively, and timely way. Thanks for your willingness to support this broadcast as we prepare to face the issues on a broader scale. Please go to fcbcatjax.com or to send your best gift to First Conservative Baptist Church, 12021 Old St. Augustine Road, Jacksonville, Florida, 32258, Attention Radio. Let's Face the Issues with Dr. Gene A. Youngblood is brought to you by First Conservative Baptist Church. Now let's get back to Let's Face the Issues with Dr. Gene A. Youngblood.
Ladies and gentlemen, our very special guest with us today is James Crandon. James is the owner, founder, and one that operates the ministry called the Carry Cross Ministry. I'm thankful to have him with us today. It is a wonderful, intriguing, encouraging testimony of his journey and what he's done and how God has so marvelously used and blessed so many with the Carry Cross. I wish I could show you a picture of it or let you look at it. You can't do that very well on the radio broadcast, so I suggest that you go to the website, the Carry Cross website. James, give them the website again.
It's just thecarrycross.com. And it'll come right up, www.thecarrycross.com.
You have images there of the Carry Cross work?
Yep.
Very good. That's craftsmanship. I've seen them, have one, been blessed by the gift of one. I'm thankful for it. It's a blessing, and it's a real craftsmanship that God has given the ability to do, to be a blessing to others. We're talking about today a subject that I believe we need to recognize is so vital for conservatives, Christians, and patriots. That is, we must focus on the truth, regardless of what the sodomite LGBTQ advocate bishop from the Episcopalian Church says. Regardless of what the socialist Marxist media calls us, regardless of the demeaning statements of calling Trump and the Trump followers Hitlers, I believe that we need to focus on the truth. And the truth is this one very simple thing, ladies and gentlemen. Americans are now free from censorship. We're now free of the whole culture of ungodly, unholy transgenderism in our schools and our colleges and the governmental offices by executive order. America now has a sealed southern border with military at the border today, with military agents and the border agents doing the job that they've not had, not been done the past 4 years. The border agents are no longer babysitters. They're enforcing the law. By the way, I don't know if you know this or not, but ladies and gentlemen, within, I believe it was like 58 or 59 seconds, less than 1 minute after President Trump was sworn in, our southern borders were sealed. And Joe Biden had said, and all of his advocates had said, that they could not seal the border without some type of legislative process they had to go through. They kept blaming it on the non-legislative process, that we didn't have a bill to pass, and the Republicans had not passed the right legislation, all of that gobbledygook. And yet within 1 minute of President Trump being sworn in, America had sealed borders. And that didn't mean all the problems are over, but that says that Donald J. Trump, President Trump, God has put him in the position with a spine to do what he said he was going to do, of which I believe God will use to give America a brief reprieve from the judgment of God. Ladies and gentlemen, I believe we have Blake on the line. Blake, over to question to comments, please.
Good morning. Good afternoon, Dr. Youngblood. And Jim, I'm looking at your website, and God bless you for this work you're doing.
Hey, thank you, Blake.
Yes, sir. And I believe you came down to city council to help with the battle to stop suppressing free speech. And I just wanted to give Dr. Youngblood an update. that Rules Committee passed out the ordinance with all the changes that we were advocating for. So as we sit and talk about the lies and the distortions and the perversions of truth that we've suffered over the last 4 years, really over the last 16 years since Barack Obama came into office, mm-hmm. we can be thankful that we have the ability to speak truth at City Council. Now, we're not done yet, as Jim, I'm sure you're aware, with regards to Moms for Liberty lawsuits they've got going on. But we have, it's coming up for a vote on Tuesday, and I'm hoping that people who are listening to you and me and listening to Dr. Youngblood will recognize the need to be at City Council on Tuesday at 5 o'clock.
You bet.
That's next Tuesday, the 28th, at 5 o'clock.
Correct.
City Hall. City Hall. And Blake, I'm so thankful for you and for God's gift in you to keep up with these things and to try to be an advocate for us at City Hall and to stand for truth. Thank you so much for the work you're doing, and God bless you as you keep doing it. Thank you for your call, for your insight, and for your instructions. And to remind our listeners, next Tuesday, 28th, City Hall, 5 o'clock, to stand for truth and to let them know our stand in relationship to that particular ordinance they're tried to restrict our freedom of speech. Blake, thank you so much for your call.
God bless.
God bless you. Thank you. Ladies and gentlemen, that telephone number is 904-831-0917. 904-831-0917. Ladies and gentlemen, we're talking about we must focus on truth. And the truth is that America is on the fast track for having freedoms restored that had been caged up, censored, eviscerated, and destroyed under the Biden administration in particular. Ladies and gentlemen, President Trump has issued dozens and dozens, and I won't say at least 100, I don't know the exact number, of executive orders to put America back in the right pathway for the people of God, for the conservatives and the Christians in America. Ladies and gentlemen, when I go back to this fake, false, phony preacher that stood and demeaned President Trump before the world, President Trump demands, I'm looking at headline, Trump demands apology from the blasphemous bishop's woke triad. President Donald J. Trump joined Christians across the nation in condemning the blasphemous bishop and the attack on the president during alleged prayer service at the National Cathedral. What she said has offended Christians across America, this writer says. And that's exactly what it is. And another article says, Trump slams the sermon, asks him to show mercy toward the LGBTQ people and its immigrants. Following a traditional inaugural prayer service at Washington National Cathedral on Tuesday, during which a Episcopal bishop called for President Trump to show mercy toward the LGBTQ people and the immigrants. Ladies and gentlemen, Trump is not trying to show harshness, anger, hostility, or in some way asking for problems or catastrophe for the sodomite people. The mindset is that we're not going to have the sodomite agenda, the LGBTQ sodomite agenda, and the DEI agenda, and the abortion agenda. It will no longer be primary and will be the very focus of the educational system and all of the political system and all of the agencies within the federal government will no longer be the case anymore. That simply will not be. In fact, this same so-called bishop, this article calls her a pastor, who lectured Trump about trans kids, assures The View, that's the Dear Women on The View, and the co-host that she was preaching unity, she said. The Episcopal bishop said Wednesday as she preached unity, as she addressed President Donald Trump, Vice President J.D. Vance, about transgender kids and illegal immigration during the National Prayer Service. Ladies and gentlemen, when you go and research what she believes, she doesn't believe there should be anybody prevented from crossing the border. She doesn't believe that any human being coming into America should be in any way processed, condemned, or in any way something said in relationship to their disobeying the law. She's not concerned about any of those that have been murdered, raped, robbed, and destroyed in America by the illegal invaders that's coming in to destroy America. She doesn't look for mercy in relationship to the families, but she's talking about mercy that Trump needs to have for those that are practicing an illegal, ungodly, unholy lifestyle. Somehow, some way, that Trump needs to wave the magic wand and make that top priority as under the Biden administration. James, I get a little uptight when I talk about this because here's President Trump that God, I believe, has given him to us as a brief reprieve again from the judgment of God in America. And if nothing else, from the conservative, the Christian, the patriot, we need to rejoice in the realization and the recognition that the brakes have been put on the DEI. The brakes have been put on the sodomite agenda. The brakes have been put on the butchering of healthy body parts for young girls and young boys in America through transgenderism. And I don't know anything else that I can find to rejoice any more from than to realize that. And yet we find the Marxist media and the Socialist Marxist Communist Party that's remonstrating against that. And here we have now a pastor supposedly standing at the National Cathedral and mimicking, mouthing things that are ungodly and unholy. How should Christians respond to what we see taking place today?
That's a great question, and I would tell you that you respond with your either your presence at the sermon or at the pastor if he's preaching the right message or not. And I don't know, as you said, you did some research on how Trump ended up there, because that's what a lot of presidents do after they're confirmed. Yes. And take office and go through that procedure. So I can't speak to that, but I'm with you. He should have gotten up. He should have looked over, and you could see that JD looked at his wife, and there was fear there, and disgust there. You could tell from the look on his face, and it was sad. And I texted him this morning on he has a website or a thing he does on Truth Social, I think it is, and I apologized to him from a faith position, because I consider myself first and foremost a child of the Most High God. So when somebody, a man or a woman, and we've talked about that, women in leadership positions in church, it's just not done. Let's look at 1 Corinthians, what it says about women in church. But from that standpoint, it was sad. And it was very, very sad. And it was in the wrong place at the wrong time. Had she have spoken to him and said, hey, I'd like to speak to you about something afterwards, or, you know, I'm going to preach a message, and I pray based on the leadership of our great historic fathers, George Washington, Thomas Jefferson, godly men that knew that they cried out. They knew they were imperfect, but they appealed to God, as that 2 Corinthians verse said, or 2 Chronicles, come humbly, seek my face. If my people will humble themselves and seek my face and pray to me, I will heal their land. And something that's going to build him up and try to make an ally of him. Not be adversarial and attack him. I would tell you that. And I think that our fathers, our country's founding fathers down through history, there were so many wonderful, beautiful things that they said themselves that she could have resonated and reverberated. And I would just throw in too, my wife and I have a dear, dear friend who has a 10-year-old grandson, who I hope the radio listeners, anyone in their family, please know that when children are suffering and in pain and going through bad diagnosis, let us know. We'll pray for them. Please pray for anybody that's suffering with anything, especially the children right now, Lord, that are sitting in hospitals around the world or in front of doctors and being ministered to the best way they know how. But we know the best way is with God's word. Mm-hmm. But yes, I do think that, as you had said, if Trump would have gotten up and looked over, I think that probably a third of that church and maybe
would have walked out.
Would have gotten up, I think so.
Left her with a hollow wall to speak to.
Yeah, it is. But she was way off, out of line, way off base.
Well, she was out of line from the standpoint of the proper protocol. She was not out of line with her belief system.
It's hers, but it's not biblical.
If she is a practicing lesbian, and all of the documentation says that she is, she's embracing sin, she is spitting in the face of God, she is remonstrating against God's word, and she's wanted to promulgate for others to do the same thing.
But think
that's
about
the mindset.
Think about what you just said, and think about our average, and I was that guy, the average listener right now is going, yeah, but gosh, that's a hassle to do that. But think about that. Now how the world reacts to that sort of thing, you said what you would do. You'd have gotten up and left.
Yes.
I confess, I was that guy years ago. Now, I'm a changed person, and I haven't gotten more adversarial, but I've gotten definitely a spine that I would remove myself from that situation.
Well, I'll tell you my roots. I don't look for a battle, but I grew up with a mother. My dad passed away when I was 5 years old. Grew up with a mother that had a pretty good spine.
Yeah.
And she said, don't you ever start a fight, but when a fight starts, don't you dare run.
Yep.
So I believe that it's time that Christians stand up and stop running. We stop bowing. We stop bending. We go back to the Daniel 3, verses 1 through 31. Daniel didn't bow. He didn't bend. He didn't burn as a result of it. I believe we have Miranda on the line. Miranda, go over to the question and comments, please.
Hi, Dr. Youngblood. Yes, I kind of have two things I want to say. Concerning the J6 prisoners that have not been released, what we are seeing from this group of people that are apparently in charge of this this jail situation where a lot of these people are in Washington, they are going to override what they don't care about what the people feel. They don't care about that Trump has a mandate and that that many people are behind him in his views, and that they want this done because they were unjustly incarcerated all this time. You know, one of the guarantees in the Constitution is the right to a speedy trial. These people have not had a speedy trial. They have been mistreated. We've heard lots of stories about how they have been ostracized and mistreated while they're in that facility. They're thumbing their noses like they love to do, and in the face of President Trump's authority. And then the other thing that I want to mention is I go on websites a lot and read and watch things concerning all the things that are happening in the world. The world is with us. The world is with us. All the comments from all around the world, Germany, England, Ireland, France, Australia, all these people will get on there and comment, and they're going, we are praying for your country. We're praying. We're so glad Donald Trump is in the White House again. We're so pleased. We're hoping that his presence there will bring sanity back to their own countries. And so that's something I wanted to mention, too. I just think that the people in the prison, though, the people that are handling this situation with releasing the J6 prisoners, they need to be fired. I mean, if you don't...
Miranda, they need to be summarily fired, removed from their responsibilities. I've listened to testimonials of those few, the two or three that's been released, and they were forced to sign documents to say that they're guilty. One man said that if he had not signed that document, he could have been sentenced to 40 years in prison, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. And yet, here's the big picture in a nutshell. We know now, in fact, Christopher Wray finally admitted that, quote, 26 FBI, operatives were in that group, when in reality it was about 206, according to the documents that I have, of the FBI agents that were wearing MAGA hats that were urging the people to come in. The FBI agents, operatives, if you will, were the ones that opened the doors, got in, and invited the others to come in, and yet one dear lady had just walked in and placed her hand hand on a table. They accused her of wanting to take the table out, that she was trying to steal federal property, and she had to sign the document that she was guilty of doing so. It was a forced deal, and just as you said, they've not been allowed their constitutional liberties. They've not had a speedy trial, and the speedy trial that a few of them had was simply a forced signing of documents that they were guilty in order not to be put in jail for the rest of their lives. No, it has been a total travesty of justice, and I'm looking at a headline here. Mike Lee, that is Senator Mike Lee, confirms despite Trump's pardon, many J6ers still remain in jail. It says here it looks like only two of these individuals have actually been released from the D.C. prison. Then they had one that was released from a prison out in Oklahoma that had been transferred there. Time Trump was elected, won the election, he was transferred there. And from what he said, others were transferred to different places across America to basically hide them in prisons where they could claim that, well, we don't know he's supposed to be released. We need to check the paperwork, etc. And again, Donald Trump needs to stand up. President Trump needs to stand up with another executive order, reduce every one of those leaders, whoever's the brass over the jail system, the federal jail system and the D.C. jail system. They need to reduce them to privates, remove them from position of authority, and put it in the hands of a caretaker until the jail system can be corrected. But Miranda, this is a long story. I'll capsulize it and let you go. We need to get back to a more rudimentary, fundamental, elemental system. D.C. is not a state. D.C. is set up for the federal government's headquarters to be operative. D.C. is about 99.7% liberal, Marxist, socialist, communist, Democrat. D.C. does not have an authority. It's the federal government that has the authority over the District of Columbia. The District of Columbia, with its mayor and other leadership, they should be subservient to whatever the federal government system says, because D.C. is not a state. And so we need to get down to our Congress needs to get down to the legislative process of bringing clarity to that and bringing back the authority of the federal government over the D.C. Area that we've always had constitutionally. Miranda, thank you so much for your call. Christians need to keep praying. That's the bottom line. We've won a skirmish, but we've not won the war. And it's as I've told people recently, when a person gets saved, the real war begins, the war between God and Satan. And we're witnessing today the skirmish has been won. Trump is elected, but the war has just begun. We have a real battle before us. And for Christians, we need to understand that it does not, his election has not exonerated, has not clarified, has not given us a comfort in America as we yet need. We need to pray for God to give peace, wisdom, insight, and protection for President Trump. Miranda, thank you so much for your call today, and God bless you as we keep looking up. Ladies and gentlemen, I'm looking at another headline. Trump administration to put an end to all federal DEI officials on leave by the end of today. That was yesterday. by the way, James, what do you think of that? I'm going to read a little headline, a little portion of this article. The Trump administration placing all federal diversity, equity, and inclusion officials on leave by the end of the business day Wednesday, a document from the Office of Personnel Management says. The OPM memo, which is being sent to executive agencies, is a result of President Trump's executive order ending all radical and wasteful government DEI programs, preferencing initialing recession and of harmful executive orders and actions, instructs agency heads to tell all DEI employees that they are being placed on leave. How should we receive that?
I say we celebrate that, and I think that's a victory for Christians, but I agree with you 100%. We cannot back down.
Yes.
And I am praying that, I don't know if the audience heard it, but Trump was interviewed by Sean Hannity the other night, and he asked him, do you think that getting shot changed you? Do you think there's been a difference in your life with your relationship with God?
Good point.
And he said, yes. He said, I think God saved me because he wants me to make America great again.
Yes.
So he is starting to develop a relationship, a personal relationship in our Lord and Savior. And I pray that he has good spiritual advisors and point him to books like Daniel and warn him about when Daniel was a young man. And then later on, when he was hired by King Darius, he kept him as an advisor. But King Darius was tricked into making him come back with a bad law that ended up putting him in jeopardy. Mm-hmm. The Bible is so full of beautiful things that can protect him and keep him on the straight and narrow, not looking left or right, but going straight for Christ, mm-hmm. and being completely committed to that. I would also urge the listening audience to take a victory in the fact that as that booger, little Chucky Schumer, had made a comment years ago, that they'll get you six ways to Sunday if you do something. Well, our mutual friend Jeff Childers commented this morning that Stephanie Spear, the newly appointed HHS chief, closed down or blacked out the offices of the CDC, FDA, and NIH. They can have no intercommunications because we saw what happened with the Peter Strzoks and the Lisa Pages or whatever, this craziness behind the scene. So the things that he's doing, not in a mean-spirited way or a retaliatory way, but realizing
that's
that
corrective.
It's corrective, yeah. And there should be righteous anger to this. I know that we're supposed to forgive and so forth, but you can't, if the demons are coming at you, and some of these people are plain evil, yes, you want to repent, you want to turn around, we're not judge and jury, but if you break the law of the land, we don't have to go into how much they went after Trump over a phone call that was perfectly right. Mm-hmm. And some of the things he's done, is he perfect? No. But is he heading in the right direction? Heck yeah, he is. And is this a victory for our country? And I would tell you that in Psalm 144:1, it says, we talked about war. You said off the air, I don't want to fight, but if somebody comes after me, they better look out. It says, blessed be the Lord my rock, who trains my hands for war and my fingers for battle. We don't want to fight, but as sons and daughters of the Most High God, we should be prepared to fight. And I don't mean so much physically, but know the law. Learn the law of the Bible. Learn the Ten Commandments. Understand what we're being required to do. But know how we can plug in, like Blake Harper said, who called in about the show, about the city council and what's coming up. And don't be afraid to ask the Lord, what can I do, Lord?
That's right.
How can I stand in the gap and make a little bit of a difference
for
you?
It's being salt and light.
And exactly.
Salt and light.
So I say it's a victory.
Salt and light. Absolutely.
Yes.
Ladies and gentlemen, that telephone number is 904-831-0917. 904-831-0917. Look at the headline, James, it says, Restoring Biblical Biological Truth. Trump rescinds Biden-era gender policies aimed at public schools. This is briefly what the article says. The Trump administration is wasting no time in signing an executive order proclaiming that there are only two biological sexes, ending the calls radical and wasteful diversity, equity, and inclusion programs inside the federal agencies. In doing so, President Trump is rolling back a number of Biden-era policies regarding gender guidance that has pushed through to public schools. Trump's executive order rescinds the White House toolkit on transgender equity and Department of Education documents, including 2024 Title IX regulations, et cetera, et cetera. Biden had instructed the Department of Education to rewrite Title IX to include gender identity and prohibiting schools from having women on only showers, changing rooms, and sports. The executive order also rescinds the U.S. Department of Education's statement on that creative inclusion, non-discriminatory school environment for the LGBTQI students, etc. The bottom line is, James, with executive orders, he said no LGBTQ in the schools, no sodomatic gender in the schools, no CRT being taught in the schools. Ladies and gentlemen, it should cause every Christian, every conservative, every patriot, every grandmother, every grandfather, every mother and father in America to rejoice in the realization there is hope for America. And I go to a statement that says this, after years of seeing the erosion of our freedom, the sanctity of life, the foundation of our family, this moment brings renewed hope for all Christians. We must be clear. The protection of these principles is not guaranteed, even with these new leaders. Even with Trump's string of executive orders yesterday, without strong and faithful advocacy, the vision we hope for will never fully materialize. It is not guaranteed that we'll see the lives of the unborns fully protected, that marriage and the institution will be restored, or the hostilities toward faithful Christians will vanish. We've seen those currently in the power hands in the past, at times chosen political expediency over bedrock principles. We won this battle, but the war is still raging, end quote. Ladies and gentlemen, I pray that you'll keep praying for Trump. It is my prayer today that God will give the victory as day by day we stand for truth and stand for him.